Cool. So, hello everybody. I'm Vince, and that's Julian. I don't know if for those who have been last year in LAC and the years before in Graz and Karlsruhe, I've been playing at the Linux Sound Night with my band. It was the cello thing with electronic music. And this year I reset up all the setup actually, and I want to show you that first, and then we will go on to the heart of this setup actually. That's Superbook. It's written by Van Puy. He's not here. He's in France, but Julian and I we add some really, really interesting features for live. And yeah, maybe I just start. Yeah. So it's the ID now is for playback only, so we are not going to record. I don't know if you know something like this view and some hardware stuff like this, so you can put some clips on it here, and you can play them, and they are synced all together.
It's very similar to like what Harry, I think, was like before. Like you just bind the clips to the pads there, right?
Exactly. So maybe I just start with a song, and I explain what I'm doing. So I think it's the best way. So I don't know if some music are coming. It's not yet. It's not actually. Okay. So. Okay. So you can see what's happening. Cool. So that's Superbuckel, and we will go on later and explain more on this. That's the heart. It's the for the arranging parts, so you can change on the fly the parts and the different parts of each instrument. So the bass drum, the bass, and all the things. So all this stuff is going to Carla. And Carla is doing the mixing. I will go there and do that. So, and it looks quite complicated, but it's not. And everything happens here is for Carla, for all the live mixing, and this for the live arranging, so I will say. So for example, I can put the drums, so I arranged that like this. So I've got the bass, the hi-hat, the snare, the real bass, it was the kick, and so on.
So basically the instruments are on the columns, and on the rows there's different variations. So like if you think in terms of mute groups, like before Harry introduced, like the rows are mute groups.
More or less, yeah. So, and that for the live mixing, I've got here so standard stuff like here delay, reverb, and so on. Maybe put. Okay, so, and then with that I can arrange something. I can say, okay, I want to have the next part. Yes. can mix all the things here. I can just bring the slider down, or individually set them up. I've got some special things there for here, filter. Superbook, we implement the scene management, so you can record a scene. It's like a state, so I can call it there or there, like 5 going to the next, and then it's kind of dubstep sound.
I guess as the difference, like we're only switching on the based on the MIDI clock, like, and you can set individually the points where the for each clip, but usually, like in a simple setup, they will all be on the same amount of beats where the switch happens. So like the idea is that you of the program, from what I can tell, is that you some switching, but you don't want to be you don't want to care about the timing yourself, so you have time while performing to care for, I don't know, modulating filters and stuff like that.
So yeah, and then I go some special effect and stuff, like filter, some switching effects. A lot of them, I wrote them in Faust, so, and put them as FE2 and into Kala, so for the mixing. So for example, each mixer strip is one FO2. So, yeah. And then I've got two special things. I wrote, yes.
About the scenes, if I understood that correctly, a scene can be basically any sub-selection of clips,
yeah.
Not just the rows or something. So that's the main difference. And how do you configure these?
You do it, and you record it like this, and that's it.
Okay, you say I want to have the actual state.
Right. Okay, record it, and then you bring a new scene. You can give a name, and you. It's there. So I go on. I got two really interesting applications I wrote in Faust, and especially with the brand new MIDI sync function from Stefan. And so there are two things. One is a simple beat repeater, actually, so it's like you can just where is it actually? Oh yeah, it's this one. So you can change the length of the loop and. Like classical stuff. You can do triolets as well, so. And the nice thing is lightning here, as I want. I sent it straight from Faust. And then the second one is the cat sequencer, I call it. It's this guy here. Actually it's really easy. It's on the baseline for now, and it just starts with the timeline and it put kind of step sequencer on it. It's not a step sequencer, but there are 8 steps and you can just mute them. So if I got the bass, I can change the bass on the fly like this.
So you can just, well, you can mute subsequences at will, like.
Then you can play with. So that's the whole setup actually. So what I'm presenting now is only the playback part. And it has tons of other stuff, like with Yoshimi and Super Lupa with the keyboard, and there's an analog synthesizer, analog delay line, and analog loop station. It is synced with MIDI clock, and everything is rooted in Kala and stored in Kala, and mostly if I start Kala, all the connections are there. And it's great. So it's really, really nice because on the stage you can just decide what to do if you have your parts and you are jungling with the parts and you can see what if the people like the parts and you can to really, really, how to say, with heart, so making music, so just arranging, mixing, changing the bass line, and doing some diversity stuff. So that's it for now. Yes. So maybe how much time do we have now? Okay, maybe we go on Super Buckel a little bit more. So it has, we do that like this. So you have a matrix of clips. You can load samples with drag and drops, actually. You can, here are the properties of each clip. You can say the amount of beats is the clip, and you can prepare everything for your live session. But there were a lot of really interesting things they were missing for the real live performance, and we implement that with Julian. We'll just show them. One is the playlist editor. It's like you can just on double click change the song. So you are on the stage, you don't need to go to the menu and open and look for a file somewhere. That's really, really handy. There are the port manager, so now you can add as many ports as you like. So there are means audio outputs.
Yep, because the idea is like you're only doing, you're not doing a lot of signal processing or filters or whatever in this piece. You're just doing the whole arrangement part. So what you want to be able to do is like do like all the other things with other check components or whatever. And so we need multiple outputs and need those to be configurable. That's why you want to have like some.
No. So in that setup, I've got 8 stereo outputs. They are all going to Kala and mixed after. Then we implement as well the mute groups. That was very interesting before with Harry.
So but these are only classical mute groups in the term that it's a group of clips, and with the constraint that only one has or only one is allowed to be playing at a time.
So yeah. If I start this one, so if I start this one will stop, and this one as well, but it's already stopped. That's it. So you can have a lot of clips, and if you trigger one clip, all the others will be mute. So especially with bass line or whatever, if you have different parts, you don't want to have two bass lines at the same time. That's the concept of mute groups. You can put them there. And yes, and we have the scenes. And as told before, the scenes are just a state of whatever you did just right now. Something maybe really nice. You say, okay, I record the scene, and you call it later.
It's just a subset of the clips like that are available. And the way it's implemented right now, you can like. Only as soon as you say you want to be in a scene, the whole global set is the global state is restored. Like all the scenes that are, all the clips that are in the scene are activated, and the other ones are turned off.
Exactly. So the best example would be you have a chorus and a verse, and maybe you want to have different parts from the verse in the chorus or whatever. But at one point you want the real chorus, so you can scene and it's done.
And to come back real quickly to your question from before, like there is no internal way that like it's just a subset of clips, and the integrity is like you can just record those in a state where like. In some state where you're playing, a subset of your clips will be active, and then as soon as you say you store the scene, then it will be taken from the state of the program at the time. So there's not more to it.
All right. So I think we are done with Supervocal. Do you think?
You're right. Like it's in an. It was in a very basic state, like 1 year ago when Vince discovered the program, kind of, or like he found the GitHub repo, and he's like, okay, we need more things to make it practical for him on stage. So we started implementing those things over the last year, but it's still like we're thinking a lot about. Like I don't have any I don't know many people in the scene or who are actually performing. So an interesting thing for me to know would be like what are interesting features. So I like we're maintaining a fork of the original thing and pushing things upstream, and the state it's in right now. We have a lot of things in the issue tracker. So I was going to present a little bit like ideas for features, and it would be interesting to. Talk about it, like what you think would make most sense, or just doesn't, or concept wise. So yeah, right. Let me find the slides.
No, wait, I didn't. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
What language is it written in? Would be one question, just out of curiosity. And the other question is for Vince. This matrix layout, is it something that you're accustomed to, or you need that for performance, or is it because the hardware, the launchpad hardware and stuff like that is like this, or would you rather go away from the matrix layout? Because I mean right now you have almost the flexibility that you don't need the matrix anymore, or maybe not. I mean you still have a kind of organization into different instruments, which are the columns, if I got that right, and so Is it essential for performance, or would
I don't
you
know.
Go away from it?
I would go away from it, but I don't have any idea. Well, it's really convenient because you can just say, in my case, I just put all my bass drums there, all my hi-hats there, and I know, okay, that's the first, and that's the cello, and yeah, I can. It's convenient, and it goes through the line, and then it will be mixed. So I've got them like this actually, and so I know one line is one instrument, and it's written in Python.
It's Python and Qt.
Qt.
Are you also thinking of implementing live sampling? You're using Super Looper and an analog looper, but it would be nice if it's integrated, right?
It has it actually.
It does. It does have recording features,
yeah.
But Vince is not using them, so we haven't been looking into those or how good they're working. We never even tested them, but theoretically, it does have that already.
Yeah, the first idea was to bring it to live on stage capable software. So, and it has the recording facilities, but I really didn't try them really. And I use Super Looper because I know it, but it's the next step actually. It's looking if it's working or not with the recording.
Yeah, but for now we were deciding really to focus on like the performance part and like think of the samples as a black box that come from somewhere and they're already there, and to optimize the ways to interact with those devices. And also I think like we're pretty much tied to the layout of this device with that's also the reason that you picked the software in the first place at some point, because like it's a nice device.
Well, the main...
I don't want this microphone.
Well, my point is I don't want to do something with computer on the stage because I don't have time to take the mouse and looking for whatever. And I really need to be intuitive. And because the cello player is playing something sometimes like 1 second changing. That's the main point, and it's the only software for now I know for Linux which can do that. So playing samples,
which is free,
and with the lightning, with the feedback, with the MIDI feedback there. So that's really important. Otherwise, I couldn't use it. So.
Vince, just wondering. Over here.
Yeah.
For your Super Dirt project, now has this workflow with Super Buchel completely replaced your old one with Hydrogen?
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Is this program you're talking about, is Super Bounce, or what's it called, tied only to the Launchpad, or is there also this Akai or whatever?
The Super Buchel.
There's more devices with 8x8.
It was designed by the main developer for the Launchpad. But actually, it works, I think, with a lot of others. It all depends of the specifications of the hardware. So, how many colors and stuff like that. So,
to be more technical, if that's interesting, like it's designed with by the original author. With this thing in mind, but it has theoretically the possibility to, like, it has some sort of, we haven't shown that, a device manager, and it has a very nice feature for binding those, binding the MIDI signals to the program actions. Like, you can just, for instance, for the Matrix, you can just press some record button and then press them in a row. And it will bind them accordingly. And also, if you start a new song, it will allow you to adjust the number of or the size of the matrix. It doesn't have to be square; it can be like any two-dimensional, but any numbers.
You can change the size of the matrix, so as you like.
But, probably you don't want too much because it doesn't fit on a screen. More than 8 is unpractical in the state that it's right now, at least on the screen wise. But theoretically, it is possible to do it with other devices, but it's very much optimized for this one. So like, for instance, the feedback, it's sending, I can't recall exactly, but it's like this device has built-in software blinking, so it's some certain encoding that allows the blinking part, and like it doesn't account for that in a way that like the software assumes in a way. Okay, I can make my output device blink.
Yeah, it's hardware blinking and some software blinking.
If your device does not allow for that, well, okay. I mean, you can set something else. You have another color or whatever to distinguish the signal. It doesn't have to be blinking, of course, but that's just the way it was designed. So, like, somebody would have to try if it really works with another device nicely, but probably it works best with this one.
That's the reason because I bought the Launchpad because of this software. So actually, it was the other way around.
But it would be very interesting, like, if somebody tried it with some other hardware.
As it would be really, really nice if somebody are really interested in that and testing with other hardware and maybe or implement themselves a way of using other hardware or doing more.
Okay, but before
general,
I think we should at some point get to an end. So I would start talking very shortly about a couple of ideas. So first of all, like for this, while I'm talking about it, I will use the term sample just for an audio file, and clip will be like what is a super buccal wrapper of the audio file, including metadata, like as you've noticed, like the length of the sample, it does not depend on the length of the clip does not depend on the length of the sample. You have to, or you can set it there. Like you can have an audio file that is, I don't know, way longer, or like just a short click or a drum beat, but you can determine the beat amount. That's what it's called currently, and yeah, all the other settings. So that is a clip. The audio file, the naked audio file, is a sample for in terms of talking about it for right now. So then, like, this is kind of a cute little graph, like what it's doing. It's the states that the clips can be in. So once you're, I'm using this hand symbol for you're pushing the button, and assume you're starting in the stopped state. Once you trigger it, it will be in kind of a starting state. So the hardware is supposed to be, or that. It's blinking, signaling that the next toggle point, which is a terminology that I'm using for like the usually it will be the start of the next bar. The clip will be actually playing back or start playing back, and will be in the playing state. And the same for the stopping. So the idea is it's basically theoretically independent for each clip, so you can do a basic use case would be, okay, you have a song with a lot of shorter clips and maybe some drum clip that would be long, like, I don't know, 4 times the length, and you have some fills that vary or something like that. And you want it, you want this variation in there, but other clips maybe, you want to be able to change more quickly. So consider some clip here with beat length 4. What is happening is, I'm in the way of this. When the clip is very short, right now you have silence. So the use case would be some drum, some kick maybe. But it is also possible that you might want the silence not to be silenced, but to automatically loop it, but still be independently have this length point where you're toggling. So like that could be one idea, an option, to allow for the looping in here. I hope that the pictures make it clear enough. Like, so also you see this independence very nicely here, like the clip length does not have to do anything, or doesn't have to do anything with the beat length. So it might be that there's some, whether it's wanted or not, you just have the option. But I can't exactly tell you a use case, but yeah. So another thing is this toggle concept, like where the point is where you want the program to be able to switch to the next clip. It's kind of tied to the length of the beat, the beat length of the clip. So if we go back to that example of a long drum clip where you have a lot of variation maybe, or some fills in there, you maybe want to be able to still say, okay, I want to switch to another drum clip because I'm in part B, whatever, and there's double bass, or I don't know what. But the whole, I don't know, 8 bars, whatever you designed your clip to be for, are not still over, so you might want to be able to decouple the toggle point from the actual length of the playback. So if you're doing nothing, it would play back for 8 bars or whatever. But when you're switching, you could be able to switch sooner. Like that could be interesting to add. So you can like individually specify the toggling point and the length of the clip. Like it's technical, but I don't know. It's still. I hope you can understand it. If not, please stop me. So another thing is this concept of having an independent, having a point where you push and the point where the clips switch, being independent, and the toggling point to some degree being tied to the MIDI clock, is nice, but probably you also at some point want to have some ability to actually play back some sample immediately and be not restricted to have to wait for the next thing. So have something like, I don't know, some sample. I don't know what would be a good use case, some scratch or whatever, yeah, that you want to be able to just immediately play back. So that would be some other thing. And there could also be variations of that, like a monophonic version where you just you push and it's played back, and if you push while it's being played back, your push is just ignored, and just like it's displayed on the bottom in the graphics, then you could also have this monophonic version with some start stop behavior. I also thought of some other thing, like you could allow for, you could make it be monophonic, but still allow for interrupting if you specify this toggle point. And then you could have some start-stop behavior. So when you push, you start the sample. When you push again, you stop it immediately. And then finally, you could have just, okay, screw it, I'm just playing back whenever you're playing, whenever you're pushing, and it's just, yeah. So that is another thing, and then like I don't know, another thing would be like you could want to play back a sequence of triggers. So you just record kind of on stage. Okay, I want to turn this clip on, and next I want to turn this clip on, and then I want to turn this group off or whatever. So that could be some sort of feature. So like at some point you're saying, okay, I'm recording right now with some record button, then I'm doing 3 pushes and the program is memorizing them and actually only memorizing the order of execution and then playing it back to the respective toggle points, if you will. And then finally, and this is maybe related to what what Harry has also been talking about, like a more general view on the concept of a group of clips. But I'm not quite sure what other things there could be, but the things that we were talking about were like, well, mute groups, classical mute groups, then like a scene that we've already in there, which is a group which should be started together at the same time. But the way we have it right now, it's a global scene in the sense that all the other clips that are not in the scene are turned off, which I mentioned earlier. And then you could also have something like, okay, I'm individually having, I have samples for drum sets, for kick, for bass, whatever. And then I could have a small local group of kick, snare, hi-hat patterns that belong together. And I want to be able to turn them on, but not turn anything else off. So like just some sort of subgrouping of clips, that could be also something. And then, yeah, okay, well, generally, okay, you might want to have something like be independent in terms of, like, what we were thinking about a use case was, okay, assume you have the classical mute group, like you have some bass samples, and then you have some piano samples, whatever. And they're both in mute groups, but you have something like, okay, one of those bass samples and one of those piano samples really don't go along very well. Like they're all, in all combinations, they're sounding nice, but you don't want to have some combination of bass and piano together because they're just not sounding nice, let alone something like AB parts or harmonics. Like, we're not even thinking about that, but you could just have, like, the requirement for more constraints, but you could realize that with multiple mute groups in a sense. But I'm not sure if like really decoupling the clip from the whole group would make more sense. But like, so I was thinking, I don't know, maybe somebody else can think of it. So you could like just make some tiny API, like just some interface for what groups can react on, and then implement those standard things and allow other people to like just with a couple of lines of codes write some custom group behavior or something like that. So those are actually basically the ideas. Then there's, how are we on the time actually?
I don't know, it's quite late. Yeah, 39.
Okay, I think we're 10 minutes over, so yeah. let's cut that short. So actually that's it. If somebody has, probably you're all hungry now and want to go food, but if at some point somebody has ideas or right now questions about those features or ideas how like things could be or concepts that could be better, yeah, we'd be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, one idea that I've been missing from a lot of looping in similar programs is to have the, you call it the toggle point, I think, to have that in the past. So, like, usually what happens, you link your toggle points to a certain beat length, and if you then trigger it slightly before the trigger point, all is good. But if you're then slightly too late, then it waits for a whole new period. And it would be nice if you could make that configurable, like maybe if I'm just a bit over, then consider it the last beat trigger point, or maybe you could say if I'm within the first half. So like, I don't know, you're recording a loop and you in the second half you decide, oh shit, I'm fucking up, I just want to use the first half, and then you say stop, and it knows, hey, we're not at the full length. Am I making
myself
clear? Well,
at least, I was thinking at least it would be nice to bypass the behavior that the clip is waiting to the next bar. So if you are straight too late, maybe with the shortcut or something, just unmute it.
Yeah, the big question to me seems to be here, like, how do you want it to behave? Do you want like some manual override where you control that, okay, now I'm late, but I still want to change it. I want to ignore the automatic thing that the program forces upon me. Or you could also be like, okay, if I'm like only that much late, then I can automatically recognize it and still do it. But that might also lead to some unexpected, like if somebody is used to like doing it very early, I don't know. So the question would be, what would be the best way to approach it? Like rather some manual override or some threshold that maybe in options is settable for the user or whatever.
Yeah, that last was what I was thinking of. Like you can set it to be either if you're just a bit late, start the thing earlier, or you could set it like at the halfway point. So if I start or stop in the first half, then it means I want it actually in the past to start. And if it's in the second half, it's the normal behavior. Like those would be the two use cases I would find useful.
Next person. So there was a question on IRC just there. Can mute groups be nested? So can one mute group control another set of mute groups and that actually influence the clips?
That is interesting because I don't quite understand what the implication would be or how the behavior would be different from like, assume that you have a couple of nested mute groups. Maybe I'm being stupid right now, but like from what I was thinking of a regular mute group, the behavior would simply be like, okay, I'm unifying all those nested and then it's the same. What is the difference? Okay, we just go on with the next question and you come back to us.
Go on.
Okay.
So currently you trigger clips, audio clips. Are you considering triggering effects, for example, spatialization effects or transformations also?
Well, you are triggering MIDI actually. So you can as well, you can go out of SuperVocal and do whatever you want with MIDI. So if you have a plugin.
So how I understand it, we're not controlling effects with SuperVocal itself. So that's if you consider the setup that Vince is using, he's like we got like 8 outputs out of SuperVocal. They're going in Kala in to wherever, I don't know, effects.
Or to Adua if you like to record whatever.
And then at that point, those are usually also MIDI controllable. So the controlling of effects, the way the setup works right now is handled there. And we haven't really been thinking a lot about integrating this or, yeah. But yeah.
But you can do really nice things, like you can just record on a MIDI track your performance with Gutractor or Adua or whatever, and just play it back and it will work. You can go and have a beer.
So there was no follow-up from IRC yet, but FalkTS asked, how often has Carla crashed so far?
Sorry?
How often has Carla crashed so far?
It has never crashed now on the stage. sometimes it doesn't work with the external MIDI hardware, or I don't know, the connections are lost. I don't know really why. But mostly it works. Actually, yeah.
About the toggle point being in the past, how about doing it with a really hard velocity? So if you really missed it and you really want to have it there, just hit it very hard.
Yeah. That's a really nice gimmick. Yeah.
I think that's a very, very good idea. The problem with the current setup that Vince is using right now, I don't think that the device is sensitive to
they aren't.
Velocity.
But you can Vampui, the main developer, implement the functionality of velocity sensitive, for example. So it is implemented now in SuperVocal, so it can use. I haven't tried it now.
I'm not entirely sure that you can actually, but well. It's a totally different point to tie this to the. I mean that would of course require custom implementation in terms of like okay, a cutoff for the velocity and then ignore the Like you could think of some stupid function even or whatever that you, like the harder you push, the further your being late is. like work, oh, whatever. Yeah.
All right.
So one note from IRC from Vampuya says that the recording feature is fully working and it's tested with a generic keyboard. So thanks for that testing.
Amazing.
There's also a follow-up question to the nested mute groups. So Robin asks, nested groups offers more flexibility. Consider group A, snare and kick, group 2 or B being hi-hat and cowbell, group 3, hi-hat and cymbals, and then you kind of like group these subgroups together in like super groups, as in like B1 is A1 and A2, and B2 is A1 and A3. Basically have kicks and different like parts of a drum kit individually grouped. Like grouped yeah. into like larger groups to control the whole drum kit in different kinds of scenarios.
Like hierarchy.
Yeah, like I think like your scenes feature maybe covers part of this in a way, in a different way.
Yeah.
You can't do that stuff without hierarchy anyway. Hi-hat, cow, singer. Yeah, okay, yeah. That was the question, I think, or the explanation for that.
So is it actually, because originally, from what I remembered, it was nested mute groups, so is it tied to the mute group functionality or rather the scene that things that belong together? Because I can, of course, remember, it makes sense. Like, you trigger one, if you think of not global scene groups in terms of where you just turn on the groups and turn everything else off, it would make sense to have like a local subgroup, turn that on, turn another local subgroup on, and then have some supergroup like that. Exactly. And then turn like all of the subgroups on, but with a mute group thing, which conceptually is like you can't even, or there is no concept for triggering a mute group. From what we've been thinking about it, like there's just like you trigger one of the clips inside of the group, and the function is that it turns off all the others. So in case of nested, I don't know I'm assuming that we're talking about like the other sort of group, not mute groups, but scenes.
I think it's just a scene thing. But because
maybe they're dual in a mathematical sense, or
but the mute group, they are really, really, really important on stage, because if you have two or three different bass line, you never ever want to have all the three playing at the same time, since the sound engineer is crying and everybody is going out. So any questions?
Yes, small addition to the toggle point thing. Like the use case I'm thinking of is just being able to start and stop stuff at the moment and have the computer understand that you want it to be actually in sync. So you're not consciously thinking, oh, I was a little bit late, so I'll hit it a bit harder. It's just your only thing you're thinking is, I want my things to start now. And like usually people who are used to loops, they just do it a bit earlier because that's how they've been trained. Like otherwise, it doesn't work. But that's actually not a natural way of making music. That's you have to consciously spend a little bit of brain power to. Oh, I have to be a bit earlier. Whereas it would be nice if you could just be in the moment. Be just.
I'm sure there are some cases for that, but in that case, you are arranging your song on the fly, so you are thinking about many loops at the same time. So you say, okay, I want with this part, with this part, with this part. So, yeah, maybe you might want to trigger all them at the same time, but actually you don't need, you can just...
Also, I think a key thing is like the way that the loops are used in the setup. So the concept, how I understand it is, or at least how we're using it and mostly the way we were thinking about it is you'd rather have longer loops that don't resemble like one snare beat or whatever, or one sound that you want to play instantly or whatever, but rather a very long period of like maybe even a part of a song, like 8 bars or so. And those are really long time spans. And the way that Vince is using them, from the way I understand it, is mostly okay, there's the part, and then you can react to the crowd in a way, okay, that they're really, you notice they're responding to it, so you're letting it run a little bit longer, and at some point you decide, okay, and now I'm going to the B part or the next part, whatever. So this is a decision that is not very time critical in a way. You just say, okay, I'm hitting it now, and this is just one small action, and mostly you're focusing on, okay, what the micromanagement of the effects in a way of, okay, I'm playing around with
the effects, and especially playing whatever. That's the idea. So you can arrange your song and prepare and do other stuff at the same time. So you don't have to. So yeah. For example, I want to change to the next part of the scene, and then I can play with the guitar on the first. So that's okay. The idea.
I think it's time more or less for lunch. So if there's somebody yep. has a really pressing question at hand, maybe one last or so, one more. Yeah, but I think it's we're fine. All hungry
just
by now.
Otherwise, just come to us and
yeah, you can come later.
Yeah.
Okay. So 3 o'clock is the next slot, and then we're gonna have well here the sound lab and the seminar room. So here is going to be. At the main hall, plugin programming with Faust, and in the seminar room, is Pure Data and the haptic hand loop things, and essential aspects on mixing in the sound lab.